Our Bible reading today is taken from Psalm 112. If you want to follow in the Pew Bible, you'll find this on page 608 in the Pew Bible. The last few weeks we've been looking through a number of Psalms, and as this is Shoebox Sunday, and we're thinking about how God calls us to care for the poor, I thought this was a very appropriate Psalm to read today. So I'm going to read from Psalm 112, right the way through, beginning up verse 1. Praise the Lord. Happy is the person who honours the Lord, who takes pleasure in obeying his commands. The good man's children will be powerful in the land. His descendants will be blessed. His family will be wealthy and rich, and he will be prosperous forever. Light shines in the darkness for good men, for those who are merciful, kind, and just. Happy is the person who is generous with his loans, who runs his business honestly. A good person will never fail. He will always be remembered. He is not afraid of receiving bad news. His faith is strong, and he trusts in the Lord. He is not worried or afraid. He is certain to see his enemies defeated. He gives generously to the needy, and his kindness never fails. He will be powerful and respected. The wicked see this and are angry. They glare in hate and despair and disappear. Their hopes are gone forever. May the Lord bless to us this reading of his holy word. Amen. I received an email earlier this week informing me that I had won over £2 million on the National Lottery. And I get all sorts of strange emails, but I hadn't quite had one like this before. And all I had to do was phone the number in the email and pass on my details. You might be surprised to know that I didn't bother phoning the number. I knew it would be too good to be true because I don't even do the lottery. How could I have won the lottery when I don't even do the lottery? And I suspected that if I did call the number, it would cost me £2, £3, £4, maybe £5 a minute, and I'd be left hanging on the phone for 5-10 minutes. Maybe you've had phone calls like that. And my details would be put on some computer, and I would end up getting all these sales calls the next day offering me a double glazing or telling me I've won a cruise. I don't know if you've had these pre-recorded messages telling you that you've won a cruise. I think I get about 5 or 6 of these a day, and I'm really fed up with it, to be honest. But I knew this one was too good to be true, so I didn't bother. And some things in life maybe seem to us to be too good to be true. I think sometimes, you know, so many companies and people are on the con, it's easy for us to become cynical that when we do hear something which sounds good, we're very suspicious, we're cynical about it. And sometimes for good reason. If it looks too good to be true, it usually is too good to be true. And yet I wonder how much our cynicism can perhaps affect our view of God and the many blessings and promises that God has for us. Some of them almost seem too good to be true at times. Maybe some of those things that we've just read in the Psalm seem too good to be true to us. Are we sometimes too cynical to be in a place of faith to be able to receive and accept what God has for us? Well, Psalm 112, which we read today, is about a person who receives many different blessings from God. And I think if we're cynical about the kinds of blessings that the Psalm talks about, we can easily miss the real point of the Psalm, which is asking the question, what kind of person attracts the blessings of God? What kind of person is surrounded by the blessings of God? And this psalm follows on from Psalm 111, which you can almost read together. They're like two pairs that come together. And the first psalm, Psalm 111, reminds us of God's goodness and his desire to bless us. That God desires good things for us. So what kind of person does attract the blessings of God? Well, verse 1 there tells us that it's the person who honours God, or the one who fears God, who is blessed. And they honour God by taking pleasure in obeying God's commandments. And I think there's a great challenge for us all in that. You know, how often is our devotion to God, maybe sometimes out of a sense of duty? We don't particularly enjoy it, but we know we should do it anyway, and it's supposed to be good for you, like taking castor oil. My dad always tells me stories about my granny feeding him castor oil in the morning. She says, oh, it's good for you. My dad says, but it doesn't taste very good. And sometimes we approach our faith like that. It's something that I've got to grin and bear. I know it's good for me, but I don't really enjoy it very much. Now, if we come to God in our worship out of a sense of duty rather than something we enjoy, it can be something very dry, it can be boring, and it doesn't sound very much like life in abundance that Jesus said it was going to be. However, when we take pleasure out of obeying God, then that's a sign that our faith is alive, that the Holy Spirit is at work within us. Now, without the Holy Spirit, we lack the power to follow Christ. We cannot keep God's commandments without the help and the strength of the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. We need a living faith, the life of God within us, to help us to follow him. And it's the Holy Spirit that makes the Christian life exciting. The Christian life is supposed to be an adventure with God, because you have God living within you, walking beside you every step of the way. That should be exciting. It should bring us joy. It should bring us life in our lives. And the Holy Spirit can make something which perhaps once seemed like a duty to be something that actually brings life. And sometimes some things have to begin almost feeling like it's a sense of duty before you actually have joy in doing that thing. I can remember when my parents sent me for violin lessons when I was 7 years old. And I used to go to this wee nun who used to teach me violin, and she was very, very strict. And if I hadn't practiced that week, I was just waiting to get a belting. And she never ever brought out the belt, but she threatened it in a few times if I wasn't going to practice. And I used to be terrified going to see this wee woman. And she was very strict disciplinarian. And learning the violin didn't feel very joyful to me. But I am so glad that I stuck at it and I went to all those lessons. And I endured those hard lessons at the beginning. And eventually it became something that I really enjoyed. And I'm so glad I did that. So what blessings does the person who honours God, what blessings do they receive? Well, there are five things mentioned here in the psalm that I want to mention quickly. Well, the person who honours God is blessed in their home and their family. It says there in verses 2 and 3, the good man's children will be powerful in the land, his descendants will be blessed, his family will be wealthy and rich, he will be prosperous forever. And these verses are meant to remind us of God's covenant with his people. You remember Abraham. Abraham was given a promise that his descendants would be great. There would be many descendants in his family and the generations that would follow after him. And that God was going to give him this land, the land of Canaan. And it was going to be a rich and fertile and prosperous land. And of course, Abraham was certainly a man who honoured God. He was a man who had great faith, and he became the father of God's people, Israel. So God's promise came true for Abraham. He didn't live to see it. God's promise came true for him and his children and his children's children. And when it says that he will be prosperous forever, this isn't necessarily referring to wealth or land, but it's referring to the legacy that this person leaves behind in their life. In this case, it's in their family. Realize God perhaps hasn't given grace for everyone to have a family. We're all called, we all have different callings in life, but all of us can leave a legacy behind. And you think of, there's a minister, a well-known minister in the Church of Scotland, a man called William Still. Maybe some of you will have heard of him. William Still was a minister up in Aberdeen. He was in the one church for 45 years. Mr. Still never married. He believed that God had called him not to marry, and that was the life that he chose. And I don't think I've met anyone in my life who had more influence on so many ministers in the Church of Scotland than Mr. Still. He went to be with the Lord about 10 years ago now, 10 years ago. It's reckoned that there are 300 to 400 ministers now in the Church of Scotland who directly talk about Mr. Still as being the person who influenced them to go into ministry. Or maybe some of them came to faith in Christ through Mr. Still. And what a legacy to leave behind. Others are maybe blessed with children in life, and that's a legacy that you can leave behind as well. And maybe for those who are parents, grandparents, aunts or uncles, it's vital that we pass on our faith to the next generation as well. And that's so important. Now, God doesn't give 100% guarantees to anyone that their children or grandchildren are going to follow on in the faith. If we teach them to love and honour God, love their neighbour, know the scriptures, teach them to pray, then surely we have a much better reason to believe that God will fulfil his promise in our children, in our grandchildren, in our nephews, in our nieces, the ones that we care for, the ones whom we love. The second blessing here in the psalm is that the person who honours God will receive blessing in the midst of trouble. Now, the darkness it talks about in verse 4 alludes to those times of darkness and difficulty that we might face in life, and we all can face those things at times, whether it's bereavement or illness or redundancy or divorce or family worries, worrying about your children. But the Lord promises that in the midst of darkness that he will bring light into that situation. Other people may find themselves dragged down in a spiral of hopelessness, feeling that there's no way out, there's no light at the end of this tunnel. The scriptures tell us that for the one who honours God will be given hope, that they will be shown light at the end of this dark tunnel and given hope. And this promise, we're told, is for those who are merciful, those who are kind, those who are just. That is the kind of person who God will bless. And such a person brings honour to God by the way that they live their life. And the third blessing here is that the person who honours God in their work will be blessed by God. There in verse 5, happy is the person who is generous with his loans, who runs his business honestly. I don't know if you remember, I think it was last year I did a wee series of sermons on work and how God can play a part in our work. And talking to many people, how often we maybe don't hear about how our Christian faith has anything to do with our work in church enough. And but here is a psalm which very much speaks about that, how your faith impacts your life and your job or your business or your career or whatever you do. Perhaps this word is a prophetic word for our nation's banks at this time. Maybe if they had read this scripture and take it to heart, the country would not be in the terrible state that it's in now. A person who runs his business honestly and generous with his loans. But in many ways it applies to us all as well. Now, if we want to honour God, then it's important that we have integrity at work. If we steal from our employer, if we spread rumours about our colleagues at work that aren't true, if we use dodgy means to get ahead, or prepared to step on other people to work our way up the ladder, surely that cannot honour God. And sometimes that does more damage to the name of Christ than anything else. You tell somebody you're going to church on Sunday and they know that how you are at work the rest of the week doesn't reflect that. It's not very good witness for the name of Christ. But God is honoured when we work hard and when we demonstrate honesty and integrity in our workplace, because people notice that. They really do. The folk at your work know that you're a believer, that you're a Christian. Believe me, they're watching to see how you live your life. And when we honour God in our work, God will bless us in our work. It says in 1 Samuel chapter 2, the Lord said to Eli, Eli was one of the priests in the temple, he says, "The one who honours me, I will honour. The one who honours me, I will honour." If you honour God in your work, God will honour you in that. I can't say in what way that will be, but God will honour you. The fourth blessing here is the person who honours God will be blessed when trials come because they have done the right thing. It says here in verse 7, he's not afraid of receiving bad news. His faith is strong and he trusts in the Lord. And when we take verse 7 and 8 together, it seems clear that the bad news that it's talking about here is connecting with the man's enemies in the next verse. And yet he doesn't seem afraid or worried about that in the slightest. He's not afraid because his trust is in God. When you choose to live God's way and honour him in your life, believe me, you will make enemies through no fault of your own. And there's various reasons for that. And it's just the way people are. Some people might be jealous. And some people may hate you because of what you represent. Maybe they have a personal problem with God and they take it out on you, although you've done nothing to do them any harm. Or sometimes by honouring God in your life can actually show up someone else's sin, their sinfulness, that they feel uncomfortable being around you. It's not because you're self-righteous or some kind of holy willy, but that you, by the way you live, it makes people uncomfortable. And maybe some of you have experienced that before. And it's through nothing that you have actually done yourself. It's because God is working in you. And some people have negative reactions to that. And in many ways, that is a good sign. Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 5, he says, "Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account." When we suffer for doing the right thing, we're actually in a good place. Because Jesus says we will be blessed when we are persecuted. Now, when you're being persecuted for what you believe in, that doesn't sound like blessing, does it? God promises that he knows what you are suffering at that time. He knows what people are saying behind your back. And if you honour God, he will honour you. And lastly, the person who honours God is blessed because he blesses the poor. Here in verse 9, "This man gives generously to the needy and his kindness never fails." In other words, what this man does for the poor has a lasting effect. It has a lasting legacy. Just as he leaves a spiritual legacy through his children and his grandchildren and his family, he leaves a legacy through the way that he treats the poor. Now, putting together these Christmas shoeboxes is a fairly simple thing. You get an old shoebox, you fill it with some pens, pencils, a notepad, maybe some toys or a wee teddy. You know, some folk have put in gloves and scarves and things like that as well. I think if you gave one of these boxes, sadly, to many kids in our society today, if that's all they received on Christmas morning, I think many of them would be quite upset. Maybe that's a reflection on our society today, that we are so prosperous, that we do have so much. My dad always brings out the old stories at Christmas time about getting a tangerine in the bottom of his sock. And maybe some of you experienced that in Christmas has passed as well. And he says, well, that's all I got. And I know that was true for many people. How our society has changed so rapidly, especially since the end of the war, become much more prosperous. But to the child who has nothing, these shoeboxes mean far more than we could ever imagine. I know you've seen, I've shown videos before when you see the children's faces when they open their shoebox and the sheer joy that it brings. And you might think that all you've bought are a few odds and ends and put them in a shoebox, but you do not know the lasting impact that these shoeboxes will have on a child's life. And how do you know that a child that gets a packet of pencils and a notepad might be able to go to school, they might be inspired to read or to write, or maybe even to go off to college or university and be whatever they want to be? Many of these children, they have dreams just as any other child has, maybe being a doctor, or being a teacher, or being a scientist, and yet they don't have the opportunity. And how do you know that your shoebox has not left a lasting legacy in a child's life that enables them to fulfill their dreams? How do you know that one of them might be the next Leonardo da Vinci? You just never know. But what you give does have a lasting effect. It leaves a legacy behind. But the Lord promises to bless those who bless the poor. Now, Jesus' words to the rich young ruler were, sell what you possess, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Isn't that a wonderful verse? You will have treasure in heaven. And maybe some of you have maybe seen some Christian TV stations on satellite and things like that, and there is a certain belief or theology in some churches which I believe is not the gospel at all, and that is that if you give, God will make you rich. You give to the poor, you give to anybody, God will make you rich, and it's a sign of how spiritual you are. A sign of how spiritual you are is the size of your car or the size of your house. That is not the gospel. That is a false gospel. And not all the maybe TV evangelists you see on TV preach that. Some are good, some are biblical, some are good people who just want to share the gospel with others. But there are some who peddle a false gospel, and that's not what this psalm is talking about. It's talking about giving to the poor so that you will have treasure in heaven. And that is one of the blessings that God gives to us. There's one preacher I heard saying that 99% of the blessings in the Christian life are in the life to come. Now, we may experience a lot of blessings in this life, but we have no idea how much we are going to experience in the life to come. We really have no idea. But I do believe that most of the blessings we receive from God are in the next life, not in this life. And that is part of a Christian hope. It is what we look forward to. Now, all of these blessings here in this psalm describe the result of a life lived for God, a life that honours God in every way, A life that seeks to please God and obey his commandments. And it's a life that experiences joy and blessing and fulfillment and happiness. Now, how many people in our nation are looking for joy and fulfillment and happiness? And yet they think that by accumulating things, getting richer, getting more and more stuff, that it will fulfill that void in their life. And yet the scriptures are actually telling us the opposite. It's the person who honours God is the one who will be fulfilled and receive joy and the blessings of God. These blessings are not some kind of con. They're not like the phony emails or phone calls that you might get promising you the earth or telling you that you've won the lottery. This is the word of God. And God doesn't lie. God's word is true and his promises are true. And the only way you will ever know if this word is true or not is if you try and live it. And that's how you test it. How do I know God will bless me? How do I know I will receive that kind of joy and fulfillment in my life? By honouring God. It's a simple answer. Honour God. Love him with all your heart. Love your neighbour. It's as simple as that. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word to us today in the psalm, which asks the question, what kind of person receives God's blessing? The person who honours you and loves you and loves their neighbour. Lord, help us not to be conned by the tricks of our society and the world, which wants us to believe that by acquiring lots of things that we will receive joy and fulfillment in this life. But Lord, help us to cling to the promises of your word and to live them out. May we be people who honour you in every way, in our home, in our family, in our jobs, in our leisure time, 7 days a week. Or may we honour you with every part of our lives. That through our witness, that people would praise God and praise your name because of the way that we live out the gospel. That they would not curse your name because of the way we live. So Lord, help us to follow you. Help us to keep your commandments. Fill us again with your Holy Spirit. Enable us to follow Christ each and every day. In his name we pray. Amen. Amen.